It's Wednesday, June the 21st, and you're tuned in to the TIB Podcast Regular Edition. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been tagging along, then you know that last week was E3, where we talked about all the latest and greatest video games coming to a home console or PC near you. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you want to get our full thoughts on E3, you can, again, listen through those if you haven't already.
Yep.
But I figured it'd be great to open up this show by finishing up with all the little odds and ends and just, I guess, our overall tops of the show.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yeah, I guess. It's fine.
So, first odd and end. Tell me about it.
Dissidia Final Fantasy.
So I've heard of this game for the PSP.
Yeah, it's hot. They came out with Dissidia 2012 Duodecum.
Yeah.
That was hot.
Wow.
But so in Japan for a couple of years now, they've had a 3-on-3 fighting game, or more like arena battler. Like if you're old school, think Virtua On.
Okay.
If you're new school, think those Gundam Versus games.
Okay.
But it's Dissidia. It's all Final Fantasy characters. And before it was only in Japanese arcades.
Yeah.
And they're bringing it over to the West.
Yes.
And they're bringing it over to home consoles. So they released a trailer. They showed it running on PS4. I don't know if it's on Xbox One. I don't remember if it is.
Yeah.
But check out the trailer for that. It looks really nice. And it's just like the original Dissidia's. It's fan service the game. Here's all of your favorite
mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy characters crossed over and fighting together and doing all their signature moves on each other.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I also had the Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer.
Yeah, that was a
trailer. That came out. That was Special Moves, the trailer.
Mm.
And yeah, I don't know. There's still no release date. They said there's going to be another trailer coming at another expo. It's like the D23 expo or something.
The Disney expo?
Is it?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
The biggest Disney show of the year.
Oh, okay. Then it's coming at the Disney expo. They're going to have an actual trailer and who knows, maybe even a release date.
Nope. Like
coming to a home console near you 2025.
That's too soon.
Too soon? Too soon. Then after that, Final Fantasy XII Remake had a new trailer coming out August.
Is it August? I thought it was July.
Is it July?
I thought it was July.
It's this game and another game I keep confusing their release dates with. It might be July.
Hmm.
But that's my favorite Final Fantasy, so check out that trailer.
It's one of the few I haven't finished yet, so can't wait to finish it.
And then just a kind of like an interesting, like more niche title for me is Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
The new trailer. So yeah. If people remember, they probably don't. Long time ago, the Gears of War people were like, hey, we are making a game called Fortnite, and it's a four-player co-op shooter thing. And really, nobody knew what it was, but they showed that trailer, and then it went dark, and everyone was like, what happened to this game? And so everyone assumed that it was dead, and they came out with a new trailer for it, and it is a four-player, more cartoony horde mode, like survival thing. It seems like it's wave based, but the thing that's cool about the Fortnite trailer is that the customization options you have to defend yourself are insane. So you can like build different houses out of individual walls. You can customize, so say I have a drywall, I can put a door in it, a window, and like I can customize it to however I want, and I can change up different minute details of whatever I'm building.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the destruction is like super dynamic. So it's a lot like, what's that new Rainbow Six game that came out?
Siege?
Yeah, Siege, where it's just, and all the, everything's destructible and you can like just, like I'll carve it a little hole here, I can see through a wall, and it has like all that kind of stuff. But in a more wave-based hordes style game. It's like pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That was it for me. I'm still gushing over the Dragon Ball Z Fighter. No, Dragon Ball Fighter Z.
Yeah. Game. They got to work on that name.
I don't know. Dragon Ball Fighters.
Like why did they split the Z? Like why did they put a word in between Dragon Ball and Z?
Cuz maybe they're going to bring out Dragon Ball characters.
No.
Okay, fine.
No.
There was on NeoGAF, they had a like theory thread where it was like, what characters do you think are going to be in the game? Like, what's for sure? What's a maybe? What's just like good luck, like cold day in hell before these people come?
Hmm.
And in the cold day in hell before these people come was Yamcha. I'm like, man, poor Yamcha.
Yeah, it always baffled me that he's the most hated of the side cast.
Poor Yamcha.
Because I was always against Third Eye Man.
Oh, Tien?
Yeah. I never liked Tien.
Who did Wolf Fang Fist?
Yamcha.
Yamcha? That's a cool thing!
Yeah, that's Yamcha.
Wolf Fang Fist!
Yeah, everybody like Krillinka's fucking destructive disc.
Yeah. People want Mr. Satan / Hercule.
Of course, who doesn't want that?
Yeah.
He's the Dan of that series.
He's the Dan. Was it Gohan's wife?
I want her a great, but I don't want Videl. I want Great Saiyaman and the sidekick.
Oh,
where she dressed up as like Mrs. Saiyaman.
Yeah. The other one they were thinking of is the mini Cells.
Oh, Cell Jr.
Yeah, Cell Jr. But they were thinking of that, like, if you pick Cell Jr., you can only pick Cell Jr.
Oh, you have like three Cell
Juniors. Or you have like six Cell Juniors, and they're all weak. Like,
oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah,
that'd break stuff. Okay.
And then I can't remember some of the ones, but yeah, like they're like Piccolo's probably in it, yeah. Broly's probably in it,
yeah.
Pan, no,
no,
oh, no. Okay. Some people wanted Chi Chi.
Okay, yeah,
that's his wife's name, right?
Goku's wife. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about the Ox King?
No, because if you put in Chi-Chi and the Ox King, that's going back to Dragon Ball.
Yeah, that's why they separated the Z.
No, I'm pretty sure there's no Dragon Ball characters.
Okay.
It just wouldn't make any sense. You can throw the Red Ribbon Army in there and like...
Yeah, you could!
No, you could.
Yeah, you could!
Like, as much as I love Goku with Power Pole, there's no way he could stand a chance Goku
with his tail, and he turns into a monkey.
Yeah, have you seen Goku go Super Saiyan and wreck monkeys?
No.
Oh, there you go.
Is that in, like, GT?
Yeah.
I've now watched GT.
Yeah, he has to take out Vegeta.
What, he wrecks a monkey?
Yeah.
Dang. Well, I guess it's like the out of control form. You don't really have any finesse. So yeah, that, and then that.
Yeah. I got some interesting news.
Okay.
So the Bethesda conference was arguably, no, not arguably, it was.
It was the worst.
It was the worst.
It had one cool reveal,
yeah.
Which for me at least was the Wolfenstein 2 trailer.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was a snooze fest.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people wondering, like, well, how come we didn't get to hear from Elder Scrolls 6? And there was one very simple reason.
Oh, I know that reason.
Tell me.
It's because they have the MMO. They're not going to release a new Elder Scrolls game when they're releasing that MMO still, and that's going strong. So they're going to have brand confusion.
So that's not a simple reason. That's a... Like, I'm going real simple.
Okay, real simple.
Like, they just straight up said, because nothing's in development.
Okay, that's even more simple. Yeah. All right.
But your answer is definitely on point.
Yeah, because they just released that new Morrowind expansion.
Yeah.
Like, why release a new single-player game when they got that MMO that's just fucking rolling in the money for them right now?
Yeah, some other interesting news. Xbox is teaming, or Microsoft is teaming with Nintendo for their Minecraft.
Yep.
So they have cross-play servers, and when they asked Sony to join in the party, Sony said no because we're afraid of the, I don't know.
So then, but yeah, the
safety of their audience.
Yeah,
and it's like, you just don't want to play ball.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of
that was actually on. So Giant Bomb, a video game website, had a interview with Phil Spencer.
Oh, I just listened to that.
Yeah, that was a great interview.
That interview is an example of why I think he's the best of all the
presenters. Yeah, he's super human. Like, he just feels like a dude, right? He's the most transparent of those kind of figureheads.
Yeah.
Right? But Phil Spencer had his talk, and I think he brought this up. Like, he didn't name names, but he's like, if you're worried about your Xbox and stuff, like, don't worry about it. We keep our users safe and all that.
Yeah.
And after Phil Spencer came out with that, I'm just like, come on, Sony, come on.
Yeah, so that was a bit weird. Other cool things that came out of the show. Atari's confirmed they're making a new console.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about this. Why?
I don't have any more than that. Just, wow.
All right, I want some theories up in here.
So I think, like, there's totally enough room to have another console.
Do you think it's a home console? Do you think it's a mobile console? Or do you think it's a phone?
I think it's a PC hybrid console.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like a laptop?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Think about like how. Yeah. Think about how many. Think about like the college demographic where they're like, honestly, if college kids had it their way, they would buy a tricked out PC.
Yeah.
But the problem with being a college student is
you're fucking broke
and you need mobility, right?
Yeah.
You can't lug your box into class.
I made the mistake of buying a super heavy laptop. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to get a laptop with a dedicated graphics card. Nah, I was dumb. I was carrying around a brick for 4 years.
Exactly. So Atari's going to make an ultralight, but it's like console power. It's going to be $1,000. And people are going to be like, what the fuck is this garbage?
And then no one's going to buy it?
Yeah, because we're going to have a joystick sticking out of it.
It's good. It's the more extreme version of that ThinkPad nub.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
Gross.
That's what I think it's going to be.
I think they'd have a good chance of making it a portable console.
You like a handheld?
Yeah, like a handheld. Because think about it. Like, the Switch is a weird in-between.
Yeah.
They're phasing out the 3DS.
Yeah.
Sony doesn't give a shit about the Vita anymore.
Yeah.
And Microsoft never had one. So, like, I think this is prime time to be like, hey, you want just here's a...
I think you're looking at it from a very optimistic view. I feel like the reason that people are phasing out handhelds is because we all got fucking phones and no one plays on handhelds anymore.
I do.
I know you do. So does TJ. He's doing it right now.
Yeah, he's playing
Vita. But you guys are the niche now. Like, you are not the norm.
There's a
reason why Sony's given up on the Vita, and it's not because they don't believe in the product. They're just like, no, this market is gone.
There's just so much you can't do on a phone.
Sure, but there's so much that people associate with mobile gaming that isn't on traditional handhelds anymore.
I guess.
Like, when people say, I want a game on the go, they don't think, I want this, you know, robust video game experience. I want to fucking click and tap shit.
Dude, you know what I did today?
Clicked and tap shit?
No, at lunch.
What?
I busted out my SP in the park.
Why?
And I played some Boktai.
All right. Well, yeah, but you're just catching up on your retro catalog. You're not actually doing that because you're like, oh, and this is what I like.
But it's fun.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that the time is gone.
This is me becoming, I say it all the time, this is me becoming an old man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all these tap games and blah, blah, blah.
But you are like the number one demographic for the tap game.
But I also play them. I'm playing Tap Titans 2 still. I'm playing Magikarp Jump still.
Yeah. Like, you are playing all... Like, you are the problem of why handhelds are dying.
But the thing is I don't, like, discriminate. Just because I'm playing one doesn't mean I don't play the other.
And you don't have to, but you are picking up what they're putting down.
Damn. All right, let's delete this off my phone. Let's go.
The other thing, too, I wanted to bring up is, hey, you remember Project Rap Rabbit?
Oh, I was going to bring that up, too. I just pulled up the Kickstarter.
Yo, that shit's done.
That shit's done. I got an email from Kickstarter being like, unfortunately, your pledge will not go through because it did not reach. So, do you want to take this? Or?
No, you go ahead. I've got nothing to say, except I knew this was going to fail.
So everything went wrong with this Kickstarter. So first off, let's just so it failed with 2,920 backers, which is not a lot for what they were asking, because they were asking 855 euros.
Yep.
Or is that pounds? I don't remember.
That's pounds.
That's pounds.
So euros is like a backward C with that.
Backward C. Okay. So they were asking for 855 pounds, which I think in U.S. dollars is like 1.1 mil.
Sure.
If I remember seeing that headline correctly.
Yeah.
They only got 162,057 pounds. So not even a quarter of the way. Didn't even scratch the surface. So the thing was, for me, I think the reason that this Kickstarter failed is that their scope was too wide. From what it was sounding like, it sounds like they were trying to make a $60 console game.
Yeah.
Right. And when it should have been like a $30 mini thing. And if it works, we can make more of it. Right. I understand that making a rhythm game that has branching paths of dialogue means a lot of recording and a lot of all that studio work. And I know games are expensive.
Yeah.
Skullgirls developers showed me that games are expensive.
Yeah.
But I just think their scope was too wide. Also, when they announced this Kickstarter, zero proof of concept. They had some art, and that was it.
Mm.
They had no gameplay. They had nothing. And then they brought out some gameplay, or some like prototype gameplay, and it was like, "Hey, Jim from accounting, we need you to rap over this rabbit.
Yeah.
And then Joe from the department section,
yeah,
we need you to be a snake.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that video was terrible. Mm. And if anything, for a brief moment, it unsold me on the game.
Wow.
Right? I saw that video and I was like, I should take back my pledge. Yeah. So, like, all around, this is just, I think that the idea was solid, but it's a product, like, of just terrible marketing.
Again, I will say this is much like the handheld. Time for rhythm action games is long gone.
I don't know if it's gone.
I think
it's but gone. But it's not.
Do you know what's taking its place?
What?
Tappers.
God damn it!
Because that fulfills, like, think about what you do in these games. You fucking tap into a beat. What if I told you could tap endlessly?
To any beat you yeah. want. That's not. It's not music.
And it still shows you the damn numbers.
This is deeper.
What if I told you every tap was perfect?
No, that's not fun. Like, okay, but so the whole Kickstarter scream to me is: here is a bunch of creatives trying to sell you something, and they don't know how to sell shit.
Yeah.
So, what you gonna do? To be fair, like full. Full disclosure,
yeah.
I backed the $150 tier.
What?
So I was going to give them a lot of money because that was £150.
Jesus.
Came with like, dude, it came with a vinyl soundtrack.
Jesus. It's a lot of dough.
It's a lot of cash money. Damn. I thought that concept was awesome, but they almost unsold me on that game. So I'm not really surprised that it failed.
Yeah. I thought their biggest mistake was launching in the first place. So
there what do you mean? Just go. Started like you hadn't. Why even try, you monkeys?
Yeah,
like,
read the market. No one wants this anymore.
Like if they wanted to go for that niche
yeah.
appeal, you don't ask for $1 million.
Yeah,
you ask for like here's our little hobby game.
Yeah, I mean you got to know what is popular. And speaking of what is popular, I have pulled up IGN's 25 most popular games viewed at E3.
Damn.
Do you want to guess? What is the most popular games?
The most popular game, Mario Odyssey.
Nope.
What?
Nope.
What is it?
Think about who has the biggest fan base on the planet.
Call of Duty.
Don't think it's just video games.
Don't think it's just video games. At E3? Well, I don't know.
Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. And, like, the people who would go to IGN would... Yeah, okay. That makes that makes perfect sense.
And, you know, when we were watching these press conferences and we see the stuff, sometimes you and me will sit there and be like, oh, fuck, another one of these games or, like, one of those games. Like, who keeps buying this? You want to know what number two is?
What?
Assassin's Creed.
God damn it! Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
All those games are terrible!
Can you believe that?
What the fuck?
Like... So next time there's another Assassin's Creed, don't be, like, surprised by it. Just know, like, that's a big franchise. Like, I didn't realize just how important that franchise is to Ubisoft.
Ubisoft. It's got to be one of those things, like those Imagines games.
Yeah.
Like, Imagine Babies, yeah. Imagine Pets.
Yeah.
Like, there's a big market that when people want to make their cool new hotness, like... They're getting funded from something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And maybe this is just a bigger version of that.
Yeah.
Like, for Ubisoft to even try to do something new,
yeah.
Like, dude, Assassin's Creed still sells.
Okay.
Just ship another one.
All right. Number three is also kind of surprising because it beat out number four, which is Spider-Man, and number five, which is Mario Odyssey.
Okay.
And number three, it's South Park.
What?
Yes, the fractured butthole.
Wait, what?
Yes, that's number three. So...
Like, I understand that third game, or that first game was... pretty popular,
but yeah, no, doesn't that just kind of be like, wow, maybe you it sometimes it's just like, man, maybe I don't understand what mainstream audience is like. Or to be fair, I don't know anything about South Park, so maybe that fan base is just huge.
Vince, I think you just admitted it.
Yeah,
you're a hipster.
Yeah, man.
Dang,
that's crazy.
Welcome to the club, boy.
So as cool as Dragon Ball FighterZ was, do you know what other fighting game placed above it?
Didn't Justice place above it?
Nope.
What other fighting game? Marvel?
Marvel.
Yeah, because it's got all the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff.
Yeah, Anthem, unsurprisingly, is sixth.
Man, that game was hot.
It's higher than Destiny. And on 25, at number 25, was Monster Hunter World.
Oh, it made it the list.
It made the list. Awesome. It didn't beat Need for Speed Payback or the Shadow Colossus.
I did not expect that game to beat anything, to be honest, but yeah. At least it made the list.
Both Metroids are on this list. God of War. Days Gone.
Did you see the leaked gameplay footage from Monster Hunter World?
I did not. I didn't get a chance to check it out.
It's like 24 minutes. It's a whole hunt.
It look good?
It looks awesome. It still looks like Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Just like all the weird animations are in there. Cool. You knocking down enemies and they flop over is cool. But the way all the new improvements look awesome. So.
Yeah, so we should also talk about that. Monster Hunter World kind of confirms that Double Cross isn't coming to West.
Yeah. Shores,
which is, man, it's kind of bittersweet because I was super looking forward to playing Monster Hunter on the Switch. That's kind of the reason I bought it.
Yeah.
And now to know that that game is just...
It's coming out early next year. They're having a worldwide launch.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, like... I think it'd be dumb if that they brought out Double Cross here. Just because it's like, hey, Monster Hunter fans, here's your thing. But then immediately after, it's like, here's more of it.
Yeah.
Right? You might be burnt out on that kind of a game.
Yeah, for a while. It's a bit of a bummer, but I mean, on the other hand, it's like, well, man, it's Monster Hunter on the PlayStation, and that's arguably better.
So I'm going to import Monster Hunter Double Cross.
You sure are.
I don't know if American saves will work on the Japanese one. I might have to restart.
Yeah, you probably will.
But, Will, I'm going to be using guides for that shit.
Yeah, so. good luck. I would do it, but it's also just like, nope.
You just don't feel like it, no?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it starting from the beginning?
Yeah, and it's just too much work to... I can't read it, so forget it. And then all the people you play with are Japanese, and it's like, well, that... I mean, they'll be super helpful, but
yeah.
I won't understand anything
they say. Yeah, true. Maybe I'll buy it just to have it.
Wow. Wow.
Just to be like, hey, on the shelf, this is the last Monster Hunter of this style.
Yeah, so that's
I'm a monster.
That's a bit of a... yeah, you are. So it's a bit of a bummer for us, the Monster Hunter conglomerate.
Okay.
Anyways, Anthony, top three games of E3 this year.
Top three games of E3. Number one for me is Dragon Ball FighterZ Zed.
Okay.
I said Zed, not
Zed. You sure did.
Number two, Super Mario Odyssey.
That game's pretty hot.
The game looks hot.
Mm-hmm.
And at number three... Anthem.
Oh, wow.
Anthem looks so good. It looks like everything I ever wanted Destiny to be,
yeah.
If not more.
Yes. Yeah.
What about you?
My number one is Anthem.
Dang, all right.
Unsurprising. Number two is Mario Odyssey. That game, wow.
Did we just have the reverse list?
Sort of.
Okay.
Because my number three is Metroid Samus
Returns. Oh, yes. The Metroid Samus Returns game.
Yes.
That game looks great. I think that it will be like... That's going to be like the swan song for the 3DS.
Yeah.
Like, here's this great new game. Go play it.
And then
shut it.
Yeah, bye.
Close it forever. Unless you're playing Pokemon Shuffle. Play Pokemon Shuffle like me. Join in that match three.
No, how come that's just not on the Switch?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Hmm.
But I really like that parry system they have going.
Yeah.
Especially on bosses. They showed one using it on one of the heavier enemies, and it goes into like this weird, like almost behind the back cutscene thing.
Yeah.
Looks hot.
Yeah, that game looks so cool. So I can't wait for that. That comes out in September.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy! Weren't they
just like, yeah, this game's done. Like, we're done development. This game's gold.
Yeah, like, that's nuts. Why didn't they say anything?
No, because they had to put a fucking title card for Metroid Prime 4.
I know. And, then, like, as pumped as I am for that, it's like, honestly, I don't
care. Should I play those games? I've never played a Metroid Prime game.
The first one, I feel like the first one, you should play. The first one was just, I don't know.
So was Metroid Prime 2 Echoes, or is that 3?
No, 2 is Echoes, 3 is Corruption.
Okay.
But the first one was kind of like, holy crap. But it also came out at the same time as Halo, so it was kind of like this new wave of game.
Okay.
So you're... I don't know if it'll have the same effect now, but I guess if you've only ever played 2D Metroid and you go to this one, you're just like, wow, they made 2D work in 3D.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
2 and 3...
Because I played the shitty one on the 3DS.
No, that's not it.
Not Federation Force.
Hunters?
Not that one. Hunters.
The,
I played
the
Hunters.
The demo that released with the 3DS?
Yeah, that game sucks.
Yeah, it did. Totally. Yeah, no, the first Prime is amazing. 2 and 3 are arguably better games, but they just don't capture the magic of the first one.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I will look for that then.
Yeah, anyways, let's move on to a week's.
Okay.
Yeah? Unless there was another pick you had.
Did I have another pick? I was going to pick Project Rap Rabbit, but we talked about it. And I'm pretty sure that I don't have another pick. So, yeah.
Good to go?
Yeah.
Hot. Wicked. So my week is pretty simple.
Like always. It's Overwatch.
It was Overwatch, but I didn't know I watched Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Oh, how is that?
I really enjoyed it.
But?
As a standalone movie. But if you're going in with the expectation, like, I love Harry Potter, I want more Harry Potter,
okay,
you are going to be so disappointed in what you see. The movie is definitely more of an adventure film where magic takes place in the real world, and it's it plays out like a collection game. Like, all my animals are loose, gotta put them all back in the cage.
Are you Ash?
Kind of.
Oh my god.
You are kind of playing Pokemon, gotta catch them all.
Dang.
Or you're watching that happen, but it's also intertwined with this political evil thing going on.
Yeah.
And the way they put it together,
Team Rocket Giovanni, yeah,
isn't. It, you know what? It kind of does work like that. Like, it just so happens that our hero crosses paths with Team Rocket.
With the Mafia?
And you're kind of just like, okay, let's make this one story and we'll save the day.
With Magic
Mafia? Yeah. But it's so, like, the effects they do are so crazy.
Okay.
So it's fun to watch. So I watched that. And then I after watching the Nintendo conference, I'm like, man, I fucking want to play something on my Switch.
Okay.
So I bought Fast
RMX.
RMX.
How is that? It's in my wish list.
Yeah, so like, I didn't know what to think of this game because I kept looking for reviews like, is it more like Wipeout or is it more like F-Zero?
I always hear that it's a mix of the two.
And that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
But it's not, it doesn't give me that tinkly feeling like either of those games.
Are you almost there? Are you edging?
Yes.
You're edging while playing this game?
But it's not... I can't... Like...
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
It's like... It's...
Just can't finish.
So close, but you're just like...
Oh!
Yeah.
The mood's gone.
Yeah. So, like, it looks like Wipeout.
Okay.
It looks like Wipeout, but the controls are not as... I don't want to say Wipeout is simulation, but there's a bit more floatiness that makes it have this, like, realistic vibe to it.
So I could never get used to Wipeout because every time I play it in my head, I'm like, F-Zero.
Yeah.
But it's not.
No.
Right? It's like if there was a hovercraft sim.
Yeah.
Right? So, and like, I could never get into
it. So this game is not like that. It's definitely closer to how F-Zero has, like, on point, like, you press right, you're going right. Like,
that sounds great.
So in that sense, it's good. But the problem is the way F-Zero combats that arcadey control scheme or arcadey simplification is they make the tracks just insane.
Yeah, and you're just blaring through them.
And this game doesn't do that.
Okay.
It has the more of the simplicity of Wipeout's tracks. So,
but with the speed of F-Zero?
Yeah, so even though you're going fast and the sense of speed is great and the game looks great, you never get the sense that, like, it's just not as exciting.
Okay.
I will say the Ikaruga mechanic of having to switch your color to take the boost is really cool. It adds an extra degree of difficulty to the game. But I feel like that degree of difficulty is why they toned down the lunacy of the tracks.
Hmm.
And I wish they just went all out and said, let's make it great. Let's go crazy.
Here's loops. Here's jumps.
I wish they did that. You know how in F-Zero they have like some of those tracks where it's just a cylinder and going all around it?
Yeah.
Like, they do some of that, but they never go super crazy with
it. Okay.
So it's
But in F-Zero, there's also like little things. Like in the GameCube one, if you're able to recover from an edge.
Yeah.
Fall. You'll get a boost, right? Because you're like playing it on the dangerous side, right?
Yeah.
And there's stuff like that. And does this game have any of that? Like, no, any hidden mechanics?
No, and it doesn't have drifting. It doesn't have in F-Zero you could actively attack.
Yeah.
Like you could
use your boost is also your life bar.
Yeah, like you could double tap to hit someone, or you could do the spin.
Yeah.
This game doesn't have that, but if you boost into someone it automatically attacks.
Huh.
So that's not I didn't really like that.
Hmm.
There is a mode where your boost is your life.
It's
called hero mode, and that's the most fun.
Is this like a situation where it's like if you want to play The Last of Us and you know how to play games, just play it on realistic or whatever?
Yes.
Okay.
However, you have to play it on normal. Like
the
career mode is normal only.
Okay.
And that's how you unlock all the tracks, all the cars. Hero mode's when you have locked everything and you're like, let's do it for real.
Okay.
So hero mode's fun because, yeah, your life is your boost. And things get nuts.
All right.
It's very good. It's just not great.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the price of entry? Like, it's $25, I think.
It's $25 here. I think it's $20 in America.
Yeah.
So, like, in that context, it's actually awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, if it is pretty, barrier entry is pretty cheap, so in that sense, it's really good.
All right, awesome.
And I think that's it. I played one more day of Persona, so I only have 7 days till Kamoshida goes like, yo, what up?
Just play it.
I will.
No, you're not.
Overwatch is calm.
By the time Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out, you will have finished Persona 5.
Will I?
No, because you'll have been like Persona 6, though. God damn it.
Oh, yeah, Persona 6, though.
So, is that it for your week?
Yeah.
All right. Do you want me to start off with things I watched with my eyes or things I played with my hands and then also watched with my eyes?
That sounds dirty. That sounds so dirty.
Pick one.
Who did you watch with your eyes?
Oh,
play
I
with your hands.
And play with my hands? You want to start with the hands?
No, it's just your eyes.
Okay, just the eyes. So with the eyes, I watched a bunch of movies.
Okay.
Yeah, with my eyes, I watched a bunch of movies.
All right.
So I watched, so I'll start with the one I've already seen before, is I rewatched Grave of the Fireflies.
Oh, classic.
It's a classic Ghibli movie. Two kids trying to survive in World War II. And okay, I've seen this movie before,
and
the first time I saw it, I think
you loved it.
I was like 19.
Okay,
so it's been a couple years.
Yeah,
and by the time I finished that movie, I was a puddle of tears.
Yeah,
because that movie is just fucking tragic.
It's good.
Okay, so I watched it again this in the year 2017, our current year.
Yeah,
and it is still, I knew what was coming, and it's still, like, maybe the most heart-wrenching movie I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You love tragedies. You love...
I do.
...seeing things never work out for anybody.
I do.
I highly recommend Grave of the Fireflies to you.
Yes.
Have you seen that movie or no?
No, I have not.
I get someone to watch it with. Like, it is just... Fuck, man. That movie is fantastic, but I don't think I can watch that movie with any sort of regularity.
Mm.
Like, if someone was like, this year or even next year, like, hey, you want to watch Grave of the Fireflies? I'd be like, fuck no, I just watched that movie.
Mm.
I don't want to be depressed.
Mm.
And it's just really good. So they have a remastered version now. Mm-hmm. I think it came out a while ago,
mm-hmm.
but it's full screen because this movie originally came out in 1988.
Yeah.
And it still looks really nice. All the up-res art is fantastic. The only thing that kind of sucks is that the audio is still from 1988.
Oh.
And then there's also some things you notice where just the way modern animated movies are directed, there are certain hard cuts in this old one that don't, like, it's hard to keep continuity.
Yeah.
Like, what just happened? It's like, oh, okay, I have to take into consideration from the theme. Like, sometimes you'll go a hard cut from one scene to another, and you're like, where did I go? How much time has passed? And you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
But other than that, other than just kind of, like, minor complaints of an age, of a style, like, how you stylize that movie, that movie's fantastic.
All right,
that movie's great. Like, it's weird to call it one of my favorites, because all it does is make me sad.
That's good.
So...
That's what a favorite should be.
I guess, like... Highly recommended if you just want to be sad. Watch Grave of the Fireflies.
Mm.
I then watched some more anime. Me and my friends had a Satoshi Kon marathon. So Satoshi Kon made Paprika.
Yep.
Made Millennium Actress, Tokyo Godfathers, and Perfect Blue. So I think I've talked about Perfect Blue before on this podcast. I believe I've also talked about Paprika. But I've watched the other two. So Millennium Actress and Tokyo Godfathers. I forget. Do you like me starting with the stuff I hate or the stuff I like first?
Whatever.
All right. So, Millennium Actress, the movie's not good.
Oh.
It is a story about a film crew who is interviewing an actress. And it is a story of her life as told through her movies. And it becomes this situation of, in Perfect Blue... You never know what's real and what's not. And just when you think you know what's real, they throw in a twist and then you're like, I'm lost again.
Oh, Perfect Blue. Yeah, this is a super confusing movie.
Yeah, and on the second watch through,
yeah.
It made a lot more sense.
Okay.
Right? It's one of those movies, like a Donnie Darko. And so they, I feel like the director, Satoshi Kon, was coming off the high of Perfect Blue, and he tried to put that sort of film style or filmmaking into a more wholesome story just about this actress's life.
Yeah.
And so you, what happens is that you never know what is a flashback of her filming and what is a flashback of her actual life back then. Because there's this story where she, it seems like she's in a lot of like romance movies where it's like, oh, here's my lost love. I met him long ago and now they're gone. Right. But also her life is like, I met someone when I was young and I fell in love and then they were taken away from me before I could confess or whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two stories, like the movie and the real life, start intertwining and it becomes very confusing, but not in an interesting way. More of a, like, this story is so mundane and it's such, supposed to be it's such a slice of life type thing that I don't need this extra layer of confusion. So I really didn't like it.
Oh, bummer.
It was very boring. It's easily the weakest of his movies, I feel. But then on the other hand, Tokyo Godfathers is just fun. It is about a group of three homeless people, a father who was abandoned by his family, and through disgrace, he just decided to be homeless. A transvestite who feels like she's not like welcome anywhere, so she's on the run from her problems. And then a teenage girl who has run from her home.
Okay.
Right? And what they do is they find a dumpster baby.
Oh. And they become a family.
And, well, it's a story about trying to find the original parents of this.
Oh, okay.
Of this baby, right? Okay. And it's pretty much hobo detective fun time. Like, the whole movie is this really lighthearted comedy about the three people living together as homeless people. Like, and as this makeshift family. But also, like, kind of a detective movie because they're trying to figure out who these parents are. Why would you leave a baby in the goddamn garbage? Yeah. Right? And, like, what happened to your life to where it came to the situation, right? And then, obviously, the situation they're in shadows things in their lives that they're running away from and their own problems, and so you learn more about them. But the whole movie's just really fun. It's really great. I think I like it better than Paprika. Mm-hmm. Like, if I had to rate all the Satoshi Kon movies, it'd go Perfect Blue, Tokyo Godfather, Paprika, and then, like, way in D tier is Millennium Actress.
Hmm.
Right? And that movie's really good. The animation still is fantastic. I believe it came out early 2000s. Looks really nice. You're in Tokyo, so a lot of bright lights, big city buildings, a lot of nighttime stuff because they're hobos. And it's just, yeah, it's great stuff.
Hmm.
It's good stuff. And then the last movie I watched is not animated. It was the recent horror or thriller, what's it called? I guess like sensation, Get Out.
Oh, yeah.
Created by something, is it something Peele? Or is it Key and Peele?
Yeah.
One of the guys from Key and Peele?
Yeah.
This movie is, so our main character is this black guy. He is dating a white girl. And they, like, the white girl's like, okay, I want you to come meet my parents. We're going to go out into the country and meet my parents or whatever and do some stuff. And from there, I don't think I can say anymore.
Okay.
Because
that's the setup?
That's the setup. The setup is I'm going to go meet my girlfriend's parents. Because after that, shit gets weird.
Yeah.
And it's not really a horror movie per se, but it is a thriller movie for sure. Like, I think it's more in the vein of Panic Room than of anything like a Jason or
it's not like an Exorcist. It's not like grotesque horror. It's just,
no, like there's maybe one or two scenes where you're like, "Ooh, that's fucked up." But that's more for emphasis rather than that's what the movie is.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed this movie.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone is calling this like some sort of like crazy masterpiece. I don't think it's that good, but I really did enjoy it. They do a really good job of taking things you think about real life. So, like, unfortunately, in today's day and age, when you think a black person and you think cops, think something bad.
Yeah.
Right? That's just the way it is, no matter how unfortunate it is.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie takes, like, those kind of preconceived notions and uses them to fuck with your emotions.
Oh.
Right? So, like, even through just visuals, they're able to do this. Like, you don't have to be talking to anybody. It's a pretty great movie. I don't know if, like, most people aren't into that kind of stuff, but if you want something to, like, keep you on the edge of your seat and keep you guessing the whole way through, like, definitely check out Get Out.
All right.
It's really good. And then I played some games. And by games, I mean I played one new game and one old game. I am playing through Neo, because I bought Neo.
What do you think of it?
It's fun. It plays very similar to all the betas and whatever. It's like pretty much the same game. But having full access to the loot system and their kind of overworld map, this really is Diablo.
It's I was going to say, what did you feel about the numbers?
It's cool.
Okay.
It's Dark Souls Diablo. Yeah. And you get all this loot to build, like, in the specific way you want. Yeah. And the game from the outset does that, like, when you make your character. Did you even get that far? Did you play it?
No, I played, like, the opening.
Okay, but you made your character, right?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just kept hitting X until I got... Like, I didn't sit there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, you only play as William.
Yeah.
William is the... He's the main character. He is from Britain. And he's all like, hey, man, I'm a captive in Britain, but I can, like, see spirits and shit.
Yeah.
There's all these demons.
I am the last samurai.
I am the last samurai. So he Tom Cruises it out of London, goes to Japan, becomes Tom Cruise. And the game from the outset does the cool thing of, like, if I, like, I'm trading in the dojo or whatever, like, their silly thing.
Sure.
And a samurai usually focuses in on certain weapons. Like, what weapons would you focus on? And they give you the list of weapons that are in the game. And then if you pick one, you get skill bonuses based on what you would like to focus in.
Yeah.
And from there, you make your different builds.
Yeah.
And I am going for... My main weapon was dual swords. And my backup weapon is the chain and sickle.
Oh.
Yeah. And then for the magic or ninjutsu, I picked magic.
I'm surprised you didn't just go for the big sword.
The straight one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd really...
The long sword.
In those Ninja Gaiden games, because this is made by Team Ninja, I always prefer the dual swords. Just, like, more dexterity. I like doing multiple hits more than I like doing one massive hit.
That's a surprise.
Right. I only did that in Dark Souls, because those big sword builds were always the easiest.
I was going to say, because in that game, you rolled, like, a sword and shield, and you just tanked it?
I didn't even have a shield. I just two-handed a greatsword.
Oh, okay.
And I heavy rolled everywhere.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
That was, like, the easiest way to get through that game for me. But this game, the fighting and the battle system is much more fleshed out. You upgrade your skills in each weapon by buying certain scrolls and techniques, and then you can customize what moves you have in different chains and branches. And also you have three different stances. So you have low stance, which is very fast and very quick, but you don't do any damage. Mid stance, which is the middle. You do a medium amount of damage and you dodge a medium amount.
Yeah.
And then high is tons slow. Of damage, but you're slow and you heavy roll. And you use all your stamina. Right? And they really make it a point for your thing called a key burst. You know how in fighting games when you lose life, you get red life? Think of that, but for your stamina. So when you use up your stamina, you get red stamina almost, and then you have to recover it by doing like a timing-based focus. And that's super important.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, you're just super fucked from the get-go.
It's like the, it reminds you of, what do you call it? Active reload?
Yeah, you're active reloading your stamina.
Yeah.
Right? Except that the repercussions are mad severe.
Yeah, you don't just lock your gun for a second.
Yeah, because you get asthma. Like, your character just gets, like, acute asthma for, like, 5 seconds. Like, oh, God, I didn't... and then you get wrecked, right? So I'm on the second level. I'm the second boss. She's very hard. She's kicking my ass like a vampire that paralyzes you. And the game does really have a high skill ceiling. Like, even though I have played, or even a skill floor, like, I think if you haven't played these types of games, like, I think the only reason I'm doing this well in this kind of game is because I've played Dark Souls games before, and also I've played Team Ninja games before. This game's hard, man. Hard in a way where when I was playing through the beginning of Dark Souls 3, I was like, oh, this is more of the same. I get this game, right? But this is just new enough where I'm like, this is the difficulty I've been looking for in these Souls games, like, in From Bloodborne and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's really good. I really like it.
Yeah, it just turned me off that you couldn't create your character indefinitely. Like, you had to be Geralt of Rivia.
Oh, you want it to be like...
I want to be whoever the fuck I want to be.
You want to be. You want to be your redheaded
archer. Man. When I was like, fuck, I'm this guy? Whatever.
He's got a sick ponytail,
bro. Yeah, it's Geralt of Rivia.
Yeah, I guess. So there's a whole story there about demons and whatever, but what you're coming to this game for is really the gameplay.
Yeah.
So, and then I'm playing some old stuff.
Uh-oh.
After years and years of recommendations by not only people on this podcast, but just people in my life in general, I'm finally playing Final Fantasy IX.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I am...
Some would say that's the best Final Fantasy.
Some would. Mm. They'd be wrong, because it's 12. But other people, they can... That's what opinions are for.
Sure. Just remember, opinions can be wrong, except for me.
Except for me. So I'm playing through 9.
Yeah.
This is obviously your favorite Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And I've never touched it, because I never owned a PS1.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah. So I never played 7, I never played 8. Mm. Obviously never played 9.
Yeah.
And 9 is very cool. It is nothing like any of the other Final Fantasies I've played before it, future or past.
Mm-hmm.
The active time battle, more reminiscent of Chrono Trigger than anything really Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And I really like it.
Mm.
So I have just... I've gone to the first main city, Lindenbaum or whatever.
Yeah.
I've participated in the hunt.
Oh,
the thing is so stupid.
But awesome.
It's... Yes, but it's so stupid.
What are you talking about? You mean you wouldn't let loose all these monsters across your capital city?
It's so dumb. I ran... Oh, my God. So, for people who haven't played it, there is your big town. And when you get to the town, there's, like, the Master of the Hunt Festival that's going on.
Yeah!
And it's, like, apparently it's a yearly thing, which is nuts, because it's annual.
Yeah!
And what they do... is that they just get a bunch of monsters from the overworld.
Yeah!
And are like, hey dog, I got a great idea. Let's just release them into the city and let people go nuts.
Let the games begin.
It's so stupid.
Oh, that was my favorite part of that game.
Oh, it's so dumb.
It sets the tone. You're like, yo, this game's gonna go places.
It's so dumb. So I went through that. I did that stuff. I got to the synth shop.
Yeah.
That I think that's a cool mechanic.
Yep.
It reminds me of my favorite part of Rogue Galaxy.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
which is like synthing two weapons together to make new stuff.
I can see that.
I really like that kind of a mechanic. I like it better than crafting.
Yes.
Because it's like crafting, but light. Like L-I-T-E crafting.
Yeah, you get the sense of like, I could create something, but I don't have to spend hours.
I don't have to go get frog skin. Yeah. Right? So... I really like this kind of a system, and I made the dual-bladed dagger for
How do you feel about that? How the main character doesn't have a sword?
It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like So, let's backtrack. This whole game from the jump is different than all the other Final Fantasy. You're not a hero.
No.
You're this, like, dude who's like, I'm gonna kidnap a motherfucking princess and hold her for ransom. And it's like, damn, she's hot.
Yeah, man, Zidane's sick.
Zidane's just like, he's a player. Like, what are those guys who they just focus on picking up women?
Oh, yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah.
Like, he's one of those, right? He's mixing up names. He's like, oh, I asked this other girl to a festival, but then I said it to her instead and I didn't tell her about it. Like, he's just a player.
Yeah.
But I like his whole crew, right? Steiner is this big buffoon, and all he knows is the will of the capital.
Yeah.
But he does not think for himself. He is just, I will follow what the royalty tells me, and that's it.
He's a sword. Right?
He's a sword. He's a living sword.
Yeah.
The princess is classic, like, Rapunzel. Like, I am captured in this tower, and I want to explore, and I want to experience things. I'm tired of reading them in books.
Yeah.
Right? And then Zidane is just like, I've seen the world. I could show you Earthang, right? I got through the petrified forest.
Yeah.
Your boy gets petrified.
Yep.
Like, oh, right in the heart. What a man. I got a new character. I got the Dragoon character.
Oh.
The giant rat lady.
Yeah, with the hat.
With the hat.
Yeah.
She's super cool.
Isn't
so
she?
I let her win the hunt.
Yeah.
Because Zidane's like, I want... money. And then Vivi's like, I want a playing card.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's stupid. And she wanted the ring. I'm like, that's an accessory, obviously. So I picked that. And Thank God I did, because that accessory absorbs lightning. So good. And then also, so I have Vivi, I have her, and I have the weird frog thing.
Oh.
With the fork. I have the blue mage.
Yeah.
Right? And as soon as I picked up the blue mage, I was like, fuck. This game just got infinitely longer.
Yeah.
Because I'm obsessive in a way with that kind
of
stuff.
Oh, you want to collect
I want to collect all of the stuff. Or at least I want to collect until I get Mighty Guard.
Yeah.
And because that happened to me in Final Fantasy VI as well.
Yeah.
Like all the Moogle dances I wanted to get from all the different landscapes, and also all of the blue mage, Gao, I think his name is.
Yeah.
In Final Fantasy VI, his blue mage stuff. I'm like, God damn it. I just want to collect everything.
Yeah.
So what was, I thought, was going to be 40 hours of me mowing through the main story
yeah.
is now going to be 70 hours of me trying to collect shit.
Have you unlocked the trance system?
Yes. The trance system is from the get-go.
Yeah. I couldn't remember if
that Vivi's was. Is like double cast.
Yeah.
Zidane just gets weird, like, runic magic because he becomes the Monkey King.
Yeah.
Basically. He has the pink Monkey King.
Yeah.
I don't know what Steiner's does. Steiner's, he glows, but I don't know what it's different.
I think it's just like ultimate tanking.
Oh, is it?
Like he will auto guard everyone.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what it was.
And then I haven't touched the blue mage or the dragoon. So I don't know what theirs is.
You don't have the white mage yet, right?
The princess is the white mage, but she left my party. Oh, okay. She fucking poisoned everybody.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. She's all like, you're taking me back to the castle? Nah, son.
Yeah.
I poisoned everyone's food. Sleeping pills, bitch. Yeah. And then left.
Yeah.
So I gotta go find her. That's where I'm at right now.
Okay.
That game's good. That game's really good.
Sure is.
But I still don't get the card system. The card game is confusing, and it seems like a time sink where I don't get anything out of it.
So, yeah, that one, 9, has this super confusing card game.
It's called Triple Triad?
Yeah, compared to 8.
Yeah.
Because 8 was the popular one, and they're like, okay, we're just going to upgrade it here.
Yeah, here's more systems.
And it just became
too much. It's like half Othello, half Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
So you get, like, there's a, what was that, 3x3 grid?
Yeah.
You get a 3x3 grid, and everyone you face, and they have a deck of 5 cards, and out of all your cards, you pick 5 cards. And when you place them down, you occupy that area.
Yeah.
But in a Pogs-like fashion,
yeah.
If you have a card that has an arrow pointing towards the other card, you can steal it if they don't have an arrow.
Mm.
But if they do have an arrow, you fight. And then whoever's stronger captures that card.
Yeah.
But then you can chain. So like, if I drop a card that captures a card that's surrounded by enemies and they get captured, and then Othello's and captures the rest of the things in its vicinity, in its AoE area, right? And so you could be, like, down, like, 7-1.
Yeah.
And you drop that last card, and it's, like, 8-2, I win, like, he's a dick. Or 8-1, right? It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly don't know what I get out of it other than taking other people's cards.
It's a card collecting game.
Do I get weapons? Like, because I know in
Final Fantasy X, you do get someone's ultimate weapon.
Is it Zidane's?
I'm not going to tell you whose it is.
Is it Beatrix?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay, fine. So I'm really looking forward to Beatrix, to getting her, because in like Final Fantasy lore, her character has always been the one I've I'm into.
Okay.
She's
pretty cool.
If I wanted like a Final Fantasy waifu.
Oh, she's pretty cool.
Like it's Beatrix.
Yeah.
And then it's Fran.
Oh.
And someone else.
Yeah, Beatrix is cool.
And so I'm really interested in A, fighting her, because I know you gotta fight her.
Yeah.
But also getting her to my party eventually.
Mm-hmm.
That game's good.
Sure,
that game's
is
really good. I'm gonna try my best to keep up with it. I have just bought Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh yeah.
So we shall see.
Yeah, that's right. That's cool.
The one thing, though, is old school random encounter
suck
rates
are
through the fucking roof.
Where are you playing this on?
I'm playing the PS1 copy.
Like the original PS1 copy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
So after I have that, I was like, I have this, I should play it. I learned there's the up-res version.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that looks really nice, because like a lot of these things. So, okay.
Yeah.
I am playing on a PS2.
Oh no.
That has component cables.
Oh no.
It is taking that component signal to my HD television, which is then stretching the fuck out of this game and everything looks like trash.
I bet.
Right? So when you meet Sid and he's an Oglop,
yeah,
I'm just like, what is this thing? I just see a walking mustache.
Yeah.
Right? So I kind of have to play that game on a CRT.
Yeah.
Unless I want to shell out another $20 to get, like, save state, like, better save states and whatever their super thing is that they had at 7. I think that's in there.
You can control encounter rate.
Can you control encounter rate? You can
turn it off if you want.
God damn it. Bravely Default, why would you do this to me?
You could play the game at 3x speed.
Like, I think I might buy that version.
There's an I win button.
I'm not gonna use the I win button.
Where you press it and everybody goes to trance mode. Yeah, and all your MP and HP refill.
Yeah, I'm not gonna use the I win
button. Oh, but man, and sometimes it just feels so good.
Like you're gonna get to Ozma and be like, I thought this boss was hard.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. So I'm honestly thinking of doing it just because those games were made in a time where was acceptable.
It's a different age.
It's a different age, right? And as soon as Bravely Default came out, that like controllable fucking encounter rate, I'm like, if every game doesn't have this shit, that's dumb.
Yeah, why bother?
So yeah, I might buy it I might buy the up-res version because I'm only 4 hours in, 4 or 5, so I'm not that far. And if I can play everything on 3x speed, I know where to go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you won't take 40 hours.
Yeah. Or will I?
Depends what you want to do with that blue mage.
Yeah, I really want to collect everything with that blue mage. I will admit I am using a guide, but not for like 100% run, because I heard from a friend that there are a shit ton of missable items in this game.
Yep.
Like just items where like if you didn't get it there, you're fucked.
Yep.
Right. So I'm just scrolling through the thing, and whenever I see like missable item warning, then I
think it's possible to also get someone's ultimate weapon on disc one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I learned about some sort of cloth glitch. Mm-hmm. Or not a glitch, but exploit, where before you get to Lindenbaum, collect as many like leather armlets as you can. Mm-hmm. And then once you do, you start buying... Was it? You buy some sort of cap.
Yeah.
Steepled cap or something.
Yep.
You fuse them together to make a cloth robe, and then you sell the cloth robe, but you make a 600 gil profit off that cloth robe.
Yep.
And so I'm like, damn. So I'm kind of rolling in cash right now.
I see. Cool.
So yeah, it's good.
Awesome.
It's really good.
Glad to hear that. Best Final Fantasy.
Wait, oh, sorry. I meant to say it's shit.
Oh. Yeah. You had to correct yourself just there?
Yeah, sorry. Actually, the whole game's garbage. Oh. And Zidane being a monkey, like, that's dumb.
What do you mean? You don't like Goku?
No. Goku's stupid. I'm all about that Krillin.
Oh, God. Oh, you can't lie.
Yo, whatever. He marries the second hottest girl in that show.
Well, who's the hottest girl?
Chi-Chi's the hottest girl in that show.
Yeah, Chi-Chi is the hottest girl in that show.
Remember when they were breaking all the cups? And Chi-Chi beat them in Super Saiyan form?
Yeah.
How strong is she?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Her power level must be over 9,000.
I don't know. No.
It must be.
Surely it couldn't be. Okay. Have we gone to the Kamen Rider portion of the show?
We have.
So we're catching up on 3 episodes this week.
Yep.
And boy, were these 3 episodes something else.
Cronus is back.
Cronus is telling you all about his time-changing capabilities.
He's like, check it out. I'm super evil, and I'm at the point in the show where I have to explain my abilities to you.
Yeah, and when I henshin, I can fast-forward time of day.
Yeah, so they were fighting on a rooftop, and it was in a pier.
Yeah.
It was nighttime, and then he henshined, and he changed the time to daytime.
Yeah.
So he's got full control. That's fucked up.
Yeah, and then he's like, in episode 33, where we started, he's like, listen, I control everyone's lives, and he literally just... wished for one of the Buzzers to die.
Yeah, no, he went onto his computer. He's like, I have the game right here. Like, I have the code.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Salty, guess what? Fuck you. And then deleted it.
Yeah. And then he did it so that he was talking to M when he did that? Okay. Anyways, at the end of the... throughout the episode, he eventually... there's a fight going on, and he stops time and he captures Brave.
Yes.
And he... convinces Brave to work for him.
Hero.
In exchange, he will bring back his lover, Saki.
Yeah, because it was revealed earlier that everybody's, like, who died from the Bugsters,
can come
their
back.
Data is stored
yeah.
in, like, a server somewhere.
In the cloud.
And it's creepy how he, like, keeps him, like, he dangles the carrot in front of him, right?
Yeah.
Because he brought back Saki in physical form.
Yeah.
But not all the way.
Yeah.
Because she's still missing her consciousness.
Yeah.
And, like, her, like, thing that makes her human. Oh. But her body is just there like a robot standing still.
Yeah.
And repeating, like, be the best doctor you can be. I miss you. And it's like, fuck, that's creepy.
Yeah. Sucks that actress.
Right?
Yeah. So, M and Shin Dan Kuroda come up with this plan to reprogram Kronos.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, they're almost 99% of the way through it. That's when Hiro betrays them.
Yep.
And says, no, F you. We rolling. We out. Mm-hmm. And that's the turn. He puts on a black suit, and Hiro is now a bad guy.
Yeah. He put on a black pinstripe suit. Like, the way this show, like, every time, there's another thing later on, but every single time that, like, I think the show is getting, like, really cool and really dark and edgy or whatever, then it's just like, no, it's a kid's show. There it is. Reel it back, boys. Reel it back. Like, we gotta show you this. Just like, here's, he was in a white doctor suit, but now he's in a black regular suit. And he's evil businessman.
Oh. What happens in the next episode? The next episode.
Is this the resurrection episode?
I think so.
Or they hint at the resurrection?
They do. They do. Yeah. Yeah. So they're going on through it, and they're still looking for a way. How can they figure out how to beat Kronos? And Danny Kroto's like, okay, I'm going to go to my workshop and work on something.
I'm going to build a new thing.
And he basically just disappears for the episode.
Yeah, he's gone.
Meanwhile, M has to fight Hiro.
He does, but also, in the meanwhile, the Bugsters,
yeah.
Paradox, and the other guy,
Graphite,
they have found the final boss, quote-unquote, because Kronos was supposed to be the good guy, like the player character that defeats the final boss, yeah. Right? So they find the early version of the final boss and steal some of his Bugster data.
Yeah.
And, like, Graphite becomes one with part of the data.
Yeah. So that happens. M fights Hiro, and they go all out. But Hiro, what does Hiro do?
That's, he gets right. Level 100, doesn't he?
No, Hiro. Later. No, Hiro doesn't. Hiro, M doesn't go all out. Is what happens.
Oh yeah, it's like, how does a level 50 beat a level 100?
Yeah.
It's when you don't fight back.
Yeah, so M didn't fight back. He got beaten by Hiro. Yeah. Hiro took his driver.
He took the belt.
He took it and said, "Mine," and he walked out.
It's like, damn.
Which, if you recall, that belt once belonged to
Laser
Boy.
And, our favorite character.
Yeah, totally. And so, M doesn't have a belt, or so we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Dan Kuroda, being fucking Santa Claus,
yeah,
right, just gives one. He's like, hey, I fixed this one a long time ago.
Yeah, but I never gave it to you because you didn't need it. So, but you need it now, so here you go.
There you go.
So that's where that episode ends. Or is it?
No, it's not, because they resurrect.
They resurrect somebody.
No, they resurrect Laser. They show it.
Yeah.
They resurrect Laser, and they show him in his suit form.
Yeah.
Right. And then after that is the next episode.
Yeah. Yeah, so next episode happens, and yo, a boy Laser's back, only he's Laser Turbo.
Which is such a sick name.
Yeah, it is.
So cool.
Yeah. His rider suit isn't the hottest, but
no, his helmet is dumb.
Yeah,
He looks like he's a catfish.
Yeah,
but
he's back.
He's back. He's with a vengeance.
He wrecks face.
He does, and then he demorphs.
Oh yeah, just to confirm who he is.
And it's, yo, it's Laser. It's him,
Laser.
But he's in a black coat. Because he's evil,
and he's got a black Hawaiian shirt. He's wearing black jeans.
Dumb. Every single time I'm like, this show is so cool, then it does that,
and he's acting all evil, and M's like, you know what, it's because it's Kronos resurrected him and programmed him to be evil.
Yeah, man,
so I'm gonna deprogram him.
Yeah, so they think of a plan to lure him out.
Yeah,
they reprogram him.
Yeah,
and there's the scene which has got to be the best scene in the whole show.
Yeah
is just Laser. He's like, oh my god, M.
Yeah, after he's been defeated by M.
Yeah. He looks at him, like, starry-eyed.
He smiles. Yeah. He brings back the Laser smile.
And then Rhinos kicks him in the motherfucking face. He's like...
Yeah, into the ocean!
Into the ocean! Right? And he's just like, you thought you could reprogram me? But I am who I am! And it's like, oh no! He's just evil!
Yeah. And then the best line comes out.
After? Yeah. So you know, there's some scene where Laser like whispers something into.
Oh, because he picks up M from the ocean.
Yeah, and he's like, "I am evil. I am who I am." Like, yeah, because you failed me.
Yeah, he says something like, "You were nothing without Paradox."
Yeah, and he's like, "I wanted you to stop Kamen Rider Chronicle, and I left it to you when I died. And now you're teaming up with the man who killed me,
yeah.
And you also failed to stop it.
Yeah.
You're such a disappointment."
And then he holds him tight. Yeah.
Whispers something to his ear, inaudible secret that shocks him to his very core.
Yeah.
And then M punches him in the face.
Yeah.
And when he's in the ocean, when Laser's in the ocean, M just looks at him dead in the eye. He's like, "You're not my friend anymore." And I was like, "Oh, this game's made for this. This show's made for kids. No, what am I doing?"
It was that line happened. I'm like, "No, Jesus, what am I doing with my life?"
Right? And it's like both like, "Oh no, they're not friends," and also, "Oh no, I'm having an existential crisis.
Yeah.
What am I watching?"
Yeah, it was one of those moments where you're just like, "Fuck,
it is a kid's show." God damn it.
I've been deceiving myself this whole time.
They pulled back the curtain on their older audience, and you're like, "Oh, man.
No wonder girls don't like me."
But it's also, like, such a great scene.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
So he's got his crew now. Paradox. Oh, what's his face? Kronos. He's got his crew. Kronos has got his crew. He's got Don Hero. He's got Hero, and he's got...
Akira.
Yeah, Akira. And he's kind of rolling. He's got his right hand and his left hand.
He does. Meanwhile, the Buckster Bros,
they're chilling.
They're just like, do whatever the fuck they want.
I love those guys. Like, you mentioned it. Like, they just show up, do whatever they want, and then leave whenever they want.
Yeah.
They're great together. They're a great duo.
Yeah, it sounds like that deal's about to end, though, because Graphite has used his body as the
catalyst for the final boss.
Yeah, and so it seems like he's breaking up. And meanwhile, Paradox wants to do nothing more than the fusion dance with M.
Yeah.
So
she's like, "Please, let's fight together." Yeah.
But yeah, no, the past three episodes, the Bucks Bros have just been rolling around, like, being awesome. They just show up at CR and, like, "Yo, tell us."
They're like, "Hey, guys, tell us all the things you know. All right, here it is. Sick. I took your cake. Bye." Like, yeah, you don't notice it, but Graphite totally stole Hero's cake, right? He's just like, "Hey, yeah, by the way, these are mine."
Yeah.
But they did have... So Dan finished his project at the end of this episode.
Hyper Muteki.
Yeah, Hyper Muteki. And it is a golden thing. Gas hat.
Yeah.
And they showed a little bit of, in the next episode preview.
Yeah.
Dude, he looks like Goldar with dreads.
He does. I heard someone say Super Saiyan 3.
Okay. All right. Maybe if you were all gold, then sure. More like Frieza.
Yeah. He kind of looks... To me, he looks like a gold predator.
Okay. That's a good one, too.
Yeah. But the thing that I'm actually more excited to see is Hero got the level 100 to upgrade to Tattle Fantasy, got Tattle Legacy.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of really pumped to see what that's all about.
Yeah, because Tattle Fantasy had a lot of cool stuff when they first showed it. Like, he could summon the army.
And he didn't have to fight.
He didn't have to fight.
Yeah.
They didn't really do any of that
in
these previous fights. So I really want to see, like, how do you upgrade... Like, do you just summon trebuchets?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is your final attack, like, your executed guillotine slash?
What if he just comes out and he's Judge Gabranth?
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah. What if he comes out and he's fucking Cloud Strife?
That would also be pretty good. He's going to cross slash someday.
Yeah.
He's got the Buster Sword.
Man.
Or does he Advent Children? Like, he throws it up and there's swords inside his sword. And he omni slashes the shit out of everybody.
I'm counting on Snipe to also get 100 level 100, and together they do cross slash.
That'd be good. Like, when they finally become, they're like, "You know what? I've been chasing the wrong thing all along.
Yeah,
we're actually supposed to be Tomodachi."
Yeah,
and then they team up together because they don't have to share the thing.
Yeah,
and then they're like, "Go air control," right? Yeah. And then he's got ground. That'd be great.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I still really like even though Buckster Bros are great, I still really like the duo between Back Alley Doctor and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But not girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, this weird, it's like, you should be dating, but you're not.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know every single thing each of you is going to do beat by beat. Like, yeah. You're so in sync with each other that, like, just kiss already. Like, geez.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This, I think, episode 34 had this odd moment with Nico on a ball.
Yeah, Nico on a yoga ball.
Yeah, and it's like, what's happening?
She's just like, she's trying to ovulate or some shit.
Yeah. Like, I was like,
she was on the yoga ball. Also, she was doing a headstand
on the wall. Yeah, it was one of those ones where, like, no, maybe this isn't a kid show.
Yeah, maybe she needs those eggs to drop.
Yeah.
But, baby trap this guy.
Yeah, but then, of course, You're Not My Friend happened.
And... yeah, You're Not My Friend. It was so dramatic. It had the piano music. Like, also, I just want to note, like, it's really sunk in now that the violin score, like, the I'm Evil score is really great.
Yeah, Cronus' theme song.
Yeah, Cronus' theme song is fantastic. I want that to be, like, my ringtone or some shit when people call me.
Yeah. But, no, man, Conrad's doing really good.
Yeah, it has been. So the last one I watched was Wizard.
Yeah.
And I did not like Wizard. Mm. I thought Wizard was very... It had a strong start. It just didn't carry it the rest of the way through.
Right.
And this, not since Forze have I liked the Kamen Rider show this much, where like every episode I'm like, this is fantastic.
Yeah. I think this next episode is actually titled it's something like the start to the Kill Kronos or something.
Okay.
So it feels like, I think now we're done with the surprises.
This is the main stretch.
This is it. We're on the home stretch.
Okay.
So... and it should be. I mean, that last episode was 35. I mean, we got maybe like 10, 12 episodes left at most.
Yeah.
So it's going to be sad when it goes. But then we
get a new Kamen Rider.
We do.
Or we could watch those movies.
I think one of them's out. The Pac-Man one's out.
Yeah, the Pac-Man one's out.
Yeah.
I want to watch. Yeah, then there's the other one that was Zevius.
Yep.
Dr. Pac-Man.
There's a scene in one of the movies. I saw a screen where it's like, this is a serious line. We couldn't have done it without you, Mr. Pac-Man son. Or Pac-Man son.
All right, I'm watching that.
It's just like, this is a real movie.
Do we have a review next week?
I don't know. Transformers The Last Night.
Ah, goddammit.
Yeah, and on that bombshell, it's time to end.
See ya.
Yeah, bye.